Welcome to the program God and Country, a program where we look at political, social, economic issues in the light of Scripture. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In our last program, the topic was entitlement, this wrong-headed idea that the world owes me a living, that all wealth should be equal and the government should redistribute wealth. And I tried to explain the difference between the communist-socialist emphasis on equality and the biblical emphasis on merit. The phrase in our Declaration of Independence is that all men are created equal in regard to human rights, but this does not mean everyone is to have equal wealth. But in the last program, I said that there are some aspects in which God expects the state to mandate economic equality, and that in our next program, I would deal with that issue. Well, this is the next program. You can listen to the first program on our website, godandcountryradio.org. This will be a good topic for Labor Day. Since the reason why you have to work extra hard is that there are inequities in our economy because America, like every other nation, has never followed God's economic plan. The situation as it now stands is that you come into the world homeless. At least your parents have a home, but eventually you will leave their home or apartment and have to find a place on your own. You will either have to spend $1,500 a month renting a cubicle from someone who owns a building or land, or you will have to spend between $2,500 and $3,500 a month on a 30-year mortgage so that you can buy a home on a quarter-acre lot or an eighth of an acre lot. And even then, the state will levy a huge property tax on your home. In New York, New Jersey, it will be between $6,000 and $12,000 a year. And if you don't pay it, you will lose your place. The effective cost of you having to have a place to live, principal, interest, taxes, is close to $1 million. That system certainly keeps people working. I owe, so off to work I go. You are working for the state, you are working for the banks, you're working for the previous landowner so that he can retire in Boca Raton, and about 5 to 10% of all your work actually goes toward the house structure. Did you know that God in his word tells us that he never wanted people to live under such economic drudgery and slavery? But no nation has ever followed God's law. People from the beginning of time have been too greedy and too controlling. Why haven't we changed the system? It's not bad enough for most people. As it says in the Declaration of Independence, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. When God established the nation of Israel, he was very specific about matters of real estate. God commanded that all the land was to be divided equally among the citizenship. It was yours by right, and nobody, not even the state, could take it away from you. Ezekiel 47 says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the boundary by which you shall divide the land for an inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. You shall divide it for an inheritance, each one equally with the other. For I swore to give it to your forefathers, and this land shall fall to you as an inheritance." The basis for this command is that God himself is the one who is allotting the land, not man, not the king. In Genesis chapter 17, the Lord says to Abraham, "I will give you and your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." The Israelite could lease out his land, but he was never to sell it. Leviticus 25 says, "The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are but aliens and sojourners with me. Thus, for every piece of property, you are to provide for the redemption of the land." It's amazing how specific the law was in matters of real estate. God, through Moses, was setting up a system whereby everyone was guaranteed to have property. If anyone lost his land due to debts or mismanagement or illness, every 50th year, called the Year of Jubilee, the land would revert back to the original owner. Leviticus 25, thus you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. The concept was that nobody would ever be locked into perpetual poverty, and society would not develop into a class of owners and workers. According to Leviticus 25, the only land that could be bought and sold permanently was land in the cities. The idea was that the city was a business zone where success and ownership was based on pure capitalism, but everyone still owned property outside the city. Here is the economic theory. God wants everyone to own land equally. Equality of wealth, that even the liberals protest for, was only to extend to property rights, not to products and services that an individual could produce. Why? Because the land is something that cannot be created by the work of man's hands. It is a fixed resource that ought to be distributed evenly. The difference between God's system and communist socialism is that in communist socialism, the social welfare state seeks equality in wealth created by labor. The Bible, however, only demands equality in natural resources. After that, how much wealth you create by the labor of your hands is your responsibility. It's based upon merit. You've probably heard the saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. That's wrong. Teach a man to fish and he will starve to death because he needs a tree to make a fishing pole and he needs a lake in which to catch the fish. Being disenfranchised from the land is the reason for poverty in America. And the scriptures have the answer to the problem of poverty. It's land rights. Now, the Declaration of Independence reads, all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Originally, the writers had written this, men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and property. But for some reason, it was changed at the last moment. The idea is that the founders wanted property to be an inalienable right. The problem in Europe was that the kings would dole out land to the nobles, and the nobles would sell the land or rent out the land to the working class. It was a great way to stay rich. Most of the colonial land in America was doled out to nobles who then sold the land for profit. For example, in 1681, King Charles II granted William Penn all the province west of the Delaware River between Maryland and New York. That was Pennsylvania. Maryland already was granted to Lord Baltimore. New York was granted to the Duke of York. You can see why our founding fathers wanted everyone to be granted land, not just the nobles. Now let's get back to ancient Israel. How did ancient Israel fare in keeping God's laws concerning land rights? Well, as far as we know, Israel did divide up the land equally, but they never kept the Year of Jubilee. So eventually, the rich bought up the land from the less successful and created land monopolies. The Israelites followed the economic system of the surrounding pagan nations. And we are sure that Israel did not keep the law because the prophet Isaiah speaks against the practice of the monopolization of the land. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room. Micah chapter 2, they covet fields, they seize them, and houses and take them away. They rob a man and his house, a man of his inheritance. Also, according to 2 Chronicles 36, when the exile came, The reason the exile in Babylon would be 70 years was to punish the people for not having practiced the sabbatical year or the year of Jubilee for the last 490 years. Well, why didn't Israel practice God's economic system? Because people are greedy. And when it comes to making money, people put their ethics in their back pocket. Should we implement Mosaic law in America and divide all of the land equally and eliminate oppressive property taxes? Well, that sounds like a good plan. The objections to it are twofold. First, the claim is that we're no longer an agricultural society, so the Mosaic plan would not work. I'm amazed at so many commentators on the Bible reject the Mosaic system out of hand, saying it's impractical, it's an antiquated system that would never work in a modern society. I don't see why land rights become a thing of the past just because this is a modern society. In fact, the ease of transportation and communication facilitates God's system because people and businesses no longer need to be clustered together to function. The second objection is that we're no longer under the Mosaic law. And to this I would agree. The Mosaic law was a temporary law for Israel, and it's done away with. There are some Christian groups called Reconstructionists who believe we need to return to the details of the Mosaic law. But this is not the position of most of evangelicalism, nor was it the position of the Reformers. As an example, in John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion, which was written in 1536, he has a chapter on civil government. And there he lays out the principle that Christians no longer need to follow the Mosaic law. Calvin wrote, "The Lord did not deliver it by the hand of Moses to be spread in all countries or to be everywhere enforced. But having taken the Jewish nation under his special care, patronage, and guardianship, and that the laws that the nations decide do not need to follow the Mosaic law, but follow the general moral laws of God." Now, I'm not claiming that Calvin's opinions are divine, but they're a good example of what godly men in the Reformation thought about the role of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and what nations need to do. I don't believe the Bible expects Gentile nations to follow the details of the Mosaic law today. But the principle of land rights should be followed. We do not have to follow the exact details in having a sabbatical year or a year of Jubilee, but God was laying out the principles of justice and fairness in regard to property, and we should emulate those laws to a certain degree. Now, how would this work in America? If you took all the land of America and divided it up equally among 300 million people, everyone would get between 10 to 20 acres. That wouldn't be necessary, but it would be reasonable if every person was guaranteed a one-acre homestead. That acre could be traded if people needed to relocate, but it could never be taken away. There would also be business and city zones where businesses could buy and sell property. This would make for much better zoning than the high-density housing situation we now have, where there are slums and overcrowding and overpriced infrastructure to accommodate the crowding. This all sounds strange if we were to do this, but this was actually Thomas Jefferson's plan. He proposed that homesteads in America be no less than 1 acre, because he was afraid without this, America would create the same kind of slums and crowding as they had in European cities. Jefferson believed that when people are crowded together, it becomes a den of corruption. People need space. He told James Madison, "I think our government will remain virtuous for many centuries as long as our nation is chiefly agricultural. And this will be as long as there shall be vacant land in many parts of America. When they get piled up on one another in large cities, as in Europe, they will become as corrupt as in Europe." And so Jefferson pushed his anti-urban policy in the Land Ordinance of 1785. Imagine the implications of this. Imagine how God's plan would have relieved us of so many problems. God's plan solves the immigration problem. When the land is divided up equally, no one from another country could enter our nation unless someone was willing to split his land with that foreigner. But as it is in the history of America, immigrants would come into the United States and be crowded into tenement houses, and they would work just to pay their rent. God's plan would solve the problems of minimum wage. One of the reasons employees don't have leverage over their employers is that employees can't negotiate their wages from the place of self-sufficiency. They can't say to their employer, "A dollar an hour? No way. I'll live off my land before I will succumb to those low wages." But if people have no ownership, they have no recourse but to accept slave wages. And so the government has to come in with a substitute system, minimum wage. With God's plan of dividing up the land, you really don't need Social Security. The elderly are secured on their own property and their children can take care of them. You don't need welfare. Most of welfare goes toward housing. A few acres of land, some seed, and a rototiller can produce a lot of food, and a person can maintain self-respect. You don't need Section 8 housing. You don't need rent control. You don't need HUD. You don't need Mount Laurel rulings. You don't need low-income housing. With God's plan, there is better town planning rather than the high-density housing, which always becomes a blight. Has this ever been attempted in America? Well, after the Civil War, the Republicans wanted to follow the biblical pattern of land rights and wanted to give every freed slave 40 acres of land and a mule. The Southern whites and the Democrats were too prejudiced and greedy to let this happen, and so they voted the legislation down. And because of this, the freed Negro slaves were locked into poverty for decades to come. Fortunately, the government did institute the Homestead Act in 1862. If you built a home and tilled the ground on a 160-acre plot, it would be yours free of charge. 1.6 million Americans took advantage of this. The last homestead property given out was in the 1980s to a man in Alaska. This is the closest America has ever come to following God's law. And it saved our country from falling prey to communism. Communism arose in countries where the common people were locked into the cycle of poverty by being denied property. And what I believe happens is that when a country violates God's laws, there arises injustices and economic problems. And this opens the foothold for Satan to inspire evil leaders to come up with wrong solutions, as in the case of communism, Marxism. And what has been happening in America is that secular liberals, even quasi-Christian progressives, have been trying to compensate for this failure to fully implement God's laws of property rights. They realize there's a problem in regard to justice for the poor, but they do not follow or know God's word, so they offer ridiculous solutions that only make matters worse and continue to keep the poor in the state of poverty. The social engineers create in the cities these projects. I've never heard any family say, "You know what my dream is? To live in a cubicle on the 10th floor of a stuffy building so I can carry my groceries up the stairs, step over drug addicts, and unlock the 5 locks to get into my apartment." A normal, healthy family needs a yard, a garden, a place to grow, a place to spread out. The liberal Democrats were behind the whole movement to force Fannie to ease mortgage standards and allow for subprime loans so that minorities and low-income people could afford a home. It was called the Community Reinvestment Act, which required banks to serve low-income people. But nobody is truly helping the poor by getting them into debt they cannot afford. And the whole thing resulted in the financial meltdown in 2008. Welfare, food stamps, housing subsidies are all failed substitutes for God's better plan. And one wonders if the true motivation behind all of the current methods for helping the poor are not about charity, but about control. God's charity plan of land rights makes people independent of bureaucrats. But the current system keeps poor people having to come back to the politicians for handouts so that the poor can pay their rent. The bureaucrat is the dispenser and controller of the wealth. The bureaucrat is buying votes. Let me sum all this up by saying that the system we have right now is rotten. I hate it with a passion. And the whole subject is very dear to me because I have a heart for poor people and the displaced people of the world who have no place to live. I hate to see families abused by the system and having to work so hard for so little. The world is like the Pharaoh of Egypt, who once he saw the Israelites had free time, he said, "Now you have to make bricks and collect your own straw." The world has a wonderful plan for your life. It's to work you to death, to keep the carrot in front of you, but never let you have it. Like I said before, if you want a homestead, it's going to cost you your life's work. $500,000 in property tax over your lifetime, and another $500,000 in principal and interest. That was never God's plan. God wants people to be free, not oppressed. And what Jesus said is so true. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Israel never implemented God's law of property rights, and no other nation since ever has. And I don't think it will ever happen. I don't think there are any people on earth righteous enough to deserve it. You see, only a righteous people can handle the wealth and freedom that God has planned for them. Most often, the wicked need to be under oppression so that they would be humbled. Maybe if America changes her way and eliminates abortion, immorality, brings the Bible back into education, then maybe God would give us the economic liberation he has planned for a righteous people. But here's my advice for those of us who have to live in a bad system. First, do everything you can not to become materialistic and get caught up in the system. Don't mortgage your life away. You will only be enslaved. Second, when the liberal progressives try to sell you on their policies of social welfare, tell them that their solutions are half-baked, that they're making matters worse by not following God's law. Third, put all your efforts into seeking and preaching the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says, "We do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." Hebrews chapter 11, "We are looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." What is fascinating is that if you follow this teaching of land rights in the Old Testament and Israel's failure to follow it, God's answer to man's failure is that the freedom will only be implemented when God returns to set up his kingdom. I don't have time to look at the passages, but the prophecies in Zechariah 3, Micah 4, Isaiah 2 all say that when the Lord returns to set up his millennial kingdom, then every man will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. The promise of a place of your own will only be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns. John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you." That is the only real estate. And I trust you will receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that blessing would be yours. Not that any man should seek God just for the promise of a mansion in heaven, but the mansion becomes a fringe benefit for all those who repent of their sins and confess Jesus as both Lord and Savior. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. You can contact us at godandcountryradio.org. Our telephone number is 732-583-9286. You can go to our website to listen to this program again. We have a special offer on our site if you'd like to subscribe to World Magazine. It's a great Christian news magazine that I highly recommend. Again, it's godandcountryradio.org. Let's pray. Father, we know that mankind has failed at every turn to obey your word. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Thank you that you have sent your Son to die for our sins, and you offer to those who believe a full pardon and a restoration to paradise. We pray that many would receive your gift in these last days. Amen.